Let's give God a hand clap for the text and the topic. Again, in our text of 1 Kings chapter number 8 and verse number 23, the person that is speaking to us through the scripture is a man by the name of Solomon. And of course, we know names are important. Solomon's name means peace or peaceably, because the Lord promised him peace when he became king. But we need to understand that God will give us peace or prosperity when we choose to serve him. In fact, Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. God wants us to prosper. He even went so far to use the Apostle John to say, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul does prosper. But I want you to notice what Solomon said here in our main verse. Solomon knew that there were other gods that people could serve. He knew it. He knew that there were other gods in the land that people could serve. And because there's nothing new under the sun, young people, you and I, we have to choose who we will serve. There are a number of gods that you can choose to serve. You know, in scripture, people worship very odd gods. There were times where people, they worship the sun. They worship the moon. There were other people that had what was known as an unknown god. They didn't even have a name, but they worship a god with no name. Then you had some people, they worship trees or nature. Yeah. Then you had some, they just straight up worship the devil. And Jesus said, look, your father is the devil. And so, again, young folk, you're going to have to choose who you gonna serve. You gonna serve somebody. Whether you admit it or not, you have a master. Whether it be righteousness or God, or whether it be sin, death, or the devil, it's gonna be somebody that you serve. Well, I hear what you're saying, but I do what I wanna do. Then you serve yourself. Paul told one group or one church that their God was their own belly. Help me out, young folk, and say, you got to serve somebody. That's right. I like what Joshua said. He said, as for me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. That's who I'm going to serve. See, you got to make your choice for yourself. You can't serve God based upon what mama do, grandmama do, or auntie do. You have to make your choice for yourself. And you and I will be just like Joshua. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. And I love what Solomon says in our verse. Throughout all of his wisdom, he recognized that there is no God like the God of Israel. Yeah, you can serve other gods, but there's nobody like Jesus. Oh, I said it's nobody. You know what our bishop liked to say, can't nobody but nobody but nobody but nobody do you like the Lord. Y'all ought to help me, young folk. Look at somebody and say, it's no God like Jesus. That's right. He will never leave us, never forsake us. Whether we are high on the mountain or low in the valley, he right there with us. Whether we're in a lion's den or in a fiery pit, he is right there with us. He'll never leave and never forsake. His ears are always open to the cries of the prayers of the righteous. Well, he hear me when I come to the altar, but I can be in my car going down Bankhead, talk to him, he'll hear me. I can be on my way to Atlanta. Guess what? He hear me. I can be in the bathroom, and guess what? My God, he hears me. You know what? There is no God like our God. He sees in the dark. I can try to hide stuff from him. He still see me. I can try to keep it a secret. He still know about it. Why? His eye is in every place, beholding the good and the evil. And what's done in the dark, he will reveal it or bless in the light. He'll do it before everybody. I see you've been praying. I'm going to bless you before everybody. I see you've been giving. I'm going to bless you before everybody. See, we don't have to be like people in the world to where when they do a good deed, they want to go ahead and take a video of it or take a picture of it and post it and let everybody know what they have done that was good. See, the Bible say that's their reward. But see, whatever we do in secret, our God sees it. And he will reward us before men. Look at somebody and say, there's nobody like our God. Woo, y'all ain't excited about that. I said, it's nobody like our God. Who else you know that when you mess up will forgive you and take you back? Woo, ain't nobody to do that but our God. Who else you know that can live in sin, but they will shed blood for you and for me and receive you as their own child and adopt you and you become an heir and a joint heir with Christ? Nobody but our God. Y'all ain't excited about it. Look at somebody and say, ain't nobody like my God. And Solomon had to tell it before the entire congregation or assembly. He said, there's nobody like the God of Israel. Young folk, I want you to understand that our God, what makes him so unique from all the other gods is that our God is the God of salvation. Our God is the God of salvation. See, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved or delivered. Why? He's the God of salvation. Whether you are 8 years old, a preteen, teenager, or in your mid-20s or older, we got to remember that our God is the God of, help me, salvation. Let's go to Jeremiah. Y'all go to Jeremiah. Let me show you something. Y'all go to Jeremiah chapter number 3 and verse 23. And we're going to look at the last clause in that verse, starting at truly. Jeremiah 3:23. Truly, in the Lord our God, help me out, is the salvation of Israel. Let's read it together with some power. Truly, help me out, in the Lord our God, finish it strong, is the salvation of Israel. See, in our God is salvation. In fact, the name of Jesus, or Jesus, means salvation. And you need to have that in your spirit, that knowing. You need to understand that as a child, teenager, young adult, or adult. Salvation is threefold. It says that our God delivers, protects, and prospers. What is salvation? It's threefold. Help me, MSW. Our God delivers, protects, and prospers. if I find myself in trouble, my God can deliver me. If I take the wrong step, my God can deliver me. When trouble comes my way, and you will have trouble in this life, your God's hand is not too short that it cannot deliver. Your God will bring you, may not bring you out when you won't, but because he's the God of salvation, he is going to bring you out. He protects. You know what the old folk used to say? He'll protect you from danger seen and unseen. See, God puts a hedge of protection around the righteous. I can't tell you how many accidents I have been in that wasn't my fault, but God protected me. Car totaled out, but I walked out. You know what? God protect. Been sick in my body many times in this life. Did not want to get out the bed because I was hurting so bad, but God protected me, gave me healing in the midst of my sickness. That wasn't nothing but God's divine protection. Woo! I said, I have almost lost my natural mind, thinking on my problems, stressed out, but I didn't commit suicide. I didn't pop no pills. I didn't take my gun and just blow my head away. You know what? God was protecting me. And some of you right now, you in trouble. You in the fire, but you ain't gonna burn. You don't even smell like smoke. You just like them Hebrew boys, because God is protecting you. Yeah, you getting threatening calls. They telling you what they gonna do. They trying to put some scaring you, but you ain't shook. Why? You know that your God is God got your back. God got your front. God got your side, your top, and your bottom. Don't you ever just limit God to protecting or having your back. He got every side. He got the top. He got the bottom. God got you. Look at somebody and say, God got me. God got you. He is protecting you. I have been through some things in my life, and I should have lost it all, but I didn't lose it all. You know what? God was protecting me. And we got to realize that. Even as parents and youth leaders, we got to trust our God that when our children leave the home to go to school, God protecting them. When our children get of age and they move out, hey, we praying. God is protecting them. They may make some bad mistakes. They may do some things they shouldn't do, but we gonna believe that God is going to divinely protect them. You remember when Joseph got thrown in jail for something he didn't even do, and they wanted to just leave him there, but they couldn't leave him in jail. God was protecting him, even bought him out. Why? Our God delivers and protects. If you go to the doctor as a young person, a young adult, and the doctor try to tell you you have something, you don't claim it. You don't shake your head. No, you say God is protector. I'm up under the blood of Jesus. He's protecting me. Now, he'll allow me to go through affliction in this life, but many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he delivers them from them. Oh, God going to protect me. You get laid off, God's still going to protect you. You get laid off, your hours get cut, he going to protect. He going to make sure you got food in the freezer, food on the table, food in the refrigerator, and even that little hideaway place where you put your snacks. He going to make sure you taken care of. Why? God always protects his folk. You going to keep playing basketball. He going to make sure your mama got the money for you to do this, do that, going to senior trip and so forth. You know why? God is protecting you. But the God of Israel also prospers. And I wish I could get more of our young people here at the MSW to realize God will prosper you while you are young. God will get a hold to you, and he will do things for young folk that your eyes have not seen and your ears have not heard. God will prosper you. It don't matter if you got one child, two child, or a whole team, five or more. God will bless each one of your descendants when you are in the will of God. I said, God of Israel prospers his people. And see, when you get in God, like many of you have when, since you was a child, you got saved in a child, and you stay saved as a teenager, God ain't going to be waiting till you get no 30 and 40 to put it on you. God going to put it on you in your youth. And he's putting it on some of our young adults right now. You got some witnesses in here, young folk, that God will prosper you while you are young. We don't have to just look at Joseph in his young age, Daniel in his young age, the boy with the fish and the loaves at his age. No, we can look right here at the MSW. You got young folk driving their heart's desire. You got young folk living in their heart's desire. You got young folk wearing their heart's desire. You got young folk owning their own desires. God will prosper you. And I love the way our God does it, young folk. He don't do it like the world. See, the blessings of the Lord will make one rich and add no sorrow. You look at these celebrities, got tens of millions of dollars and blowing their head off. Got tens of millions of dollars and going broke. Got tens of millions of dollars and not happy. But see, when God prosper you, you're going to show enough be happy. Ain't going to be no sorrow. Ain't going to be no depression with it. Now, these things will attack us, but when God prosper you, you're going to have it the way God wants you to have it. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Man, I'm in the right place at the right time. I'm in the will of God. I am in a place where God is delivering, protecting, and prospering. Ain't no way I'm going to go back and backslide on God. I'm in the best and the safest place that I could be as a young person. I ain't smoking that. I'm blessed right here. I'm not going over there. I'm blessed right here. I'm not following y'all. Y'all need to follow me because I serve the God of Israel. And our God, help me out, is the God of salvation. And what is salvation? It's when God delivers. Oh, y'all listening. Come on. Protects and prospers. Solomon was boasting hard. Ain't no God in the heavens or beneath like our God. How many know that to be true? And we need to understand that. And when we look at the text, young folk, we see that our God does two things for those who serve him. Two specific things. God does things for everybody. But he does specific things for his servants. Again, you're going to serve somebody. Whoever is your master, that's who you serve. If you serve sin, then sin is your master. You serve God, then the Lord or righteousness is your master. That's what Paul said. You're going to serve, help me out, somebody. Tell somebody, say, you're going to serve somebody. But if you choose to serve the God of Israel, God gonna do two specific things. The text says, young people, he keeps covenant and mercy. He keeps covenant and he manifests mercy to his servants. Say that with me. Say, he keeps covenant and manifests mercy. And then say, to who? His servants. Help me out. He keeps and manifests for his. Oh, come on. This side over here. I need to hear y'all. He keeps. He manifests for his. For his servants. A covenant is a word we need to be familiar with. Okay. Number of definitions, young people. But I'm going to break it and give it to you in crumbs this morning. Real simple, okay? A serious and sacred agreement, a covenant, a serious and sacred agreement. Now, in this agreement, both parties have an assignment. I got a part, and God has a part. God ain't gonna do my part, and I sure enough can't do his part. So I need to know my part and do my part. And as Prophetess Beasley say, let God be God and do his part. So what is a covenant? A serious, so it's something we don't need to play around with, and a sacred covenant or agreement. Thank you. Okay? A covenant. Now, when you go get a house or an apartment, you're going to have to sign a covenant, an agreement. You get to the age to where you start accumulating assets, things that are valuable. You're going to write a last will and testament or covenant saying, when I die, such and such going to get this, that, and so forth. So it's an agreement. God's covenant has been signed with his blood. God's covenant, which is his word, it has been signed with his blood. All of God's promises in his covenant are yes and amen. Are y'all following me? Okay, follow me to Psalm 89. Let's deal with this covenant. This is powerful. Psalm 89. And look at verse 34. Now prove to me y'all got it. And read with me. Y'all ready? Psalm 89, 34. Ready? Go. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. You see that? God's covenant he will not break. So making reference, young folk, to what's written. What's in this written covenant, he ain't gonna break. It will come to pass. If he said the wages of sin is death, I don't care how much fun we have with sin, sooner or later, it's gonna be some death coming out. Man, we had fun smoking, drinking, and partying. All right, you had fun because the Bible tells us that sin is pleasurable. But if you keep doing that, it's going to be some death come out. God can't break that. That's why his folk need to stay away and don't fool with sin. Well, they saying nowadays that hell ain't real. They saying hell is not real, God. That's what they saying. Hell is not real. It's here on earth. What you go through, Lord, that's what they say. But God's covenant says that a person can lift up their eyes in Hades or hell once they die. His covenant says hell is a place that's dark. Hell is a place where the fire and the smoke cannot be quenched. Hell is a place where the worms do not die. Woo, Jesus. Hell is a place where people are in torment. So whose report you going to believe? When he said he ain't going to break it. But then he makes reference, listen, young folk, to the spoken word or covenant. He said, I won't alter the word that has gone out of my lips. See, God will give us promises from his prophet, and he'll speak into our life the will of God, and whatever comes forth from his prophet, that's what he's going to do. He ain't going to alter. If he used his prophet, and he did, to say better is here and bigger is coming, God ain't going to alter that. It don't matter if pandemic or plandemic show up. That ain't going to change for God's people. Better is here and bigger is coming. He ain't gonna alter that. He ain't gonna change. God does not change. And he will do nothing except he reveal his secrets to his servants, the prophets. Hang on altar. Well, I don't like it. I ain't going back to that church. Bye. God ain't changing what he said. He ain't changing. Woo! Y'all see it in the text? But then he uses a word we need to be familiar with, mercy. Divine kindness and favor. God kind of kindness. The God kind of favor. I'm going to show young folk that serve me mercy. Jesus. Mercy. God, show me some kindness. God, show me some favor. Because these folk out here tripping. On the job, they trip. At school, they be tripping. In my own family, they be tripping. Down the hallway by the bathroom, turn left. Guess what? They be tripping sometime. And sometime, Lord, I be tripping. So, Lord, you got to have mercy. Okay, let's go to Lamentations. Yes, Lamentations. Go to Jeremiah, it's the next book. Okay. Lamentations. Yeah, we've been here before. But follow me, even if you ain't been there before. Just keep following me. I'm telling you, boy, my people are tripping, ain't they? We ain't never been here before. Come on and follow me over to Lamentations. Okay. Chapter number 3. Let me show y'all something y'all ain't seen before. I'm taking y'all places. Y'all hang with Baker. I'm taking your places, baby. I'm taking your places. Lamentations 3, 22. Prove to me you're there. Look at this. Through the Lord's mercies, good God, we are not consumed. Let's just stop right there. Let's just work that right there. If it was not for the Lord's mercy, we would be messed up from the flow up. Consumed. There were some things in our lives that should have taken us out. Some of us right now, you should be in the homeless center right now. But you ain't. You got your own place right now. You know what? God's mercy. Woo! It's some of you right now, if truth be told, you should be pregnant right now. But you ain't. You know why? God's mercy. Some of you should be broke right now, but you ain't because of God's mercy. I'm finna step. Some of us should be dead in hell right now, but we ain't because of God's mercy. I thank God for his mercy. I said, I thank God for his mercy. You should have got that ticket. You should have got that ticket. But you didn't get that ticket. God's mercy. God's mercy. Because his compassions fail not. 23. Now he's still talking about his mercy. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Every day, if you are a servant of the God of Israel, every single day, God got some fresh mercy with your name on it. God ain't dealing with no leftovers. God ain't dealing with nothing that's stale. He said every morning, before you even put your feet on the floor, God got some new mercy with your name on it. When you get to school, you need to be looking for the mercies. When you get to the job, you need to be looking for that mercy. And what is mercy? His kindness and his favor. When you go to the grocery store, you need to be looking for some mercy. Wherever your foot go, you need to understand every day God got some new mercy just for you. It ain't just for the pastor or the preacher. No, it's for those who serve him. And if you have the mindset as a young person to keep your mind on this covenant promise, God gonna make sure every day you experience some mercy. I don't care if your day is to stay at home in the bed and make it a Netflix night. God got some mercy for you if you're looking for it. See, if you seek, you'll find. If you hunger and thirst, you'll be filled. You got to be expecting God to do exactly what he said he would do, even though you ain't got no driver's license, you ain't got no health insurance, and you ain't got that many followers on social media. You still need to be looking for new mercy every single day, because that's what your God said he had for you. Y'all ain't excited. I said fresh mercy every day. We ain't even hit 12 o'clock. God got some mercy for us. We ain't even hit the half day mark. God still got some mercy for those who want it in him. If you want it, he got it. You know how the song says, and if you want it, you can get it. Look at somebody say, if you want it, you can get it. Do you think God got new mercy just to sit there and not be claimed? He got new mercy for his servants every single day. You may say, well, Lord, after church, I'm just going to go ride. You may bump into your mercy for the day. Well, Lord, I'm just going to go to this grocery store over here. You need to be expecting some mercy. You got to get that mercy every single day. Every day. Let's go to Psalm 23. Lamentations didn't do it for him, Lord. No, some of y'all, You still left that on your plate. It's all right. That's it. Psalm 23. Again, we're talking about what's for his servants, his covenant, and his mercies. Look at Psalm 23 and verse number 6. Lord have mercy. This is a powerful verse David shared with us. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me when I'm grown. When I get married. No, all the days of my life. Mercy follow us. All the days of our life. Mercy is following us. His servants. You need to be asking, Lord, I want to experience somebody saying, look, I don't know why I'm doing this. His mercy, his favor, his kindness. Man, you showed up. You got the last one, his mercy. You know they on back order and folk ain't going to get it to a year later, but he had this last one waiting on me. His mercy, his favor. All the days of my life, even on a Monday. When folks say Monday is the worst day of the week, the devil is a lie. I want some Monday mercy. On Monday, I'm expecting some mercy. While everybody's saying Mondays are miserable, I'm like, Monday's got mercy. It's Mercy Monday. Y'all saying miserable Monday, but my mind is on mercy all the days of my life. That's how you got to be thinking. Mercy. Every day. You go to close on the property and the attorney said, we got a check for you. Mercy. I was ready to give y'all some money, but you got a check for me? Mercy. You don't know how God going to do it, but we need to be expecting it, young folk. Especially if you his servant. See, I ain't in this thing to be religious. If he promised it, I want what he promised. He keeps his covenant and mercy. Look, with who? His servants. Now, this is the key. Because we all in here, but all may not be servants. Look around. I have found out, young people, and you learn from this. Just because folk come to church and yell amen real loud, hallelujah, preach, pastor, that don't mean they are serving. You got folk that have come to every service, every revival, and look good. But that don't mean they are a servant. A servant, I just want to break it down, is just a willing worshiper. Willing to do whatever the master says. I'm an Ebed, Lord. Just whatever you want me to do, I'm your servant. Now, you told us to be here at 9:45 to pray. You said, be here at 9:45, and you done blessed me with my own car where I can drive. I'm willing to be there at 9:45. Even though I want to stay in this bed and get about an extra 10, 15 minutes, I'm willing to be there, Lord. You asked for 30 or more. Now, I got in my pocket 60. I'm willing to give you 30 or more. I'm your servant. You the one that gave me the 60. So if you want 30, you're going to have to give me 30 plus. And you did promise me if I give, you'll cause men to give back into my bosom, good measure, help me out. Press down, shaking together, and roll, running over. So I'm your servant. So here's the 30 or more. I'm a willing worshiper. See, God is looking for those that worship him in spirit or with the right attitude. That's what he's looking for. His servants. He's looking for those that's going to worship him with the right attitude. Whatever he asks us to do, all right, I'm willing to do it. Not going to complain, bicker, murmur. This what you want? So be it. I'm your servant. I've been bought with a price. I'm no longer my own. But not just with the right attitude, but in truth. He wants us to serve or worship him according to the word. That's a servant. Just whatever you want me to do, Lord. And we like to sing them songs, whatever you want me to do, I do it. Send me, I go. We be lying sometimes. Just be honest. We be lying sometimes. Use me, Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus, use me. Okay. Well, I'm going to have to prepare to use you. Do this right here, and I use you. And then we be like, be lying. But see, this degree of covenant and mercy is only for youth and young adults and adults that are his servants. I need you to stay an extra 45 minutes after service, but everybody meeting over grandmama house to do such and such. Well, make a choice. Either you're going to go meet everybody at grandma's house or you're going to serve. A willing worshiper. And sometimes it be simple stuff. He'll ask his servants to do. I need you to dress a certain way. I want you to dress more modest. That ain't me. I know. You mine. So dress like this. Not like you want to for this occasion. Y'all ain't ready for that. Yeah, no, y'all ain't ready for that. Y'all ain't ready for that. I see right now. Y'all ain't ready for that. I thought y'all were ready. But look at somebody and say, Lord, help us. His servants that do one particular thing a certain way, they walk before him with all their heart. Listen, young folk, walk doesn't necessarily mean putting one foot in front of the other. Walk has to do with your lifestyle. How you living? In the church and outside the church. How is your lifestyle? How's your lifestyle? Are you trying to live the lifestyle of a Christian? Or the lifestyle of a homosexual? How's your lifestyle? You can't be both. I know in our day and time, they try to tell you you can be both. You can't be both because it contradicts his covenant. And that's not hate. That's truth. What you doing? How's your lifestyle? How do you think, talk, and act? In the church and outside the church. How do you walk before your parents? Are you disobedient all the time? Disrespectful? Do you try to play mama against daddy? How's your lifestyle? How's your lifestyle when it comes to your money? Do you give God what's his? Or are you a thief? How's your lifestyle? How's your praying lifestyle? How's your praying lifestyle? Is the only time you really pray when you come to church? The only time you in the word is when you at church? Are you praying and in the word outside of church? Or do you do them prayers to where you can just ease your conscience and say, yeah, I prayed, but it wasn't with all your heart? You know, James said it's the effective and fervent prayers that avail much. But I've been guilty in times past praying just to say in my conscience, well, hey, I don't pray. No. God wants his servants to walk before him with all their heart. Wholeheartedly. Is God number one, or do you treat him like a side piece? Is he number one? And we can tell, or you can tell, by the fruit that you bear. Look at the tree. A good tree cannot bring forth bad fruit or evil fruit. And an evil fruit tree cannot bring forth good fruit. God wants his servants to walk before him wholeheartedly. Now listen. Again, I'm trying to break this down to crumbs, real simple. But when he talks about his servants walking with all their heart, listen, he's saying their best. God wants our best according to his word or truth. Because sometimes we'll say it's our best based upon how we feel we can do. But it needs to be our best based upon what his word says. Did you sing that song with all your heart? Did you come to church ready to worship, give, pray, and so forth with all your heart? Did you do X, Y, and Z to your best ability? Or did you just throw God whatever you wanted him to have? You heard the Lord use Minister Leakes. Cain gave God what he wanted him to have. But Abel gave God his best. And on occasion, young people, that's how we have to examine ourselves. Am I giving God my best based upon what his word said I should be doing? Or am I just doing enough to satisfy my conscience? Do I really give God my best praise, or do I just try to be cool and reserved? Am I giving God my best? There were folk in the word like Bartimaeus who couldn't even see, but was giving God his best. Blind, but giving God his best. Ain't that something? This is a season, a year, God wants us to trust him and do other things wholeheartedly. Not no half doing stuff. Well, I'm doing it just because you asked me to. No, it needs to be bigger than that. It needs to be wholeheartedly. In my clothes, because that's what our God wants, I want to give us two keys to walking before the Lord wholeheartedly. These two keys that the Spirit of God told me to deal with should help us to do what's being taught today. And how many could be honest before I talk about these two keys to help us, can be honest and say, yeah, I need to do some things in my life better, by a show of hands? Who can just be honest? Yeah, all of us. Even when I was preparing this, I said, well, Lord, I repent, because I done came up short. I know in this area right here, I slacked off. And you're not pleased with it based upon what you're revealing. Be merciful, Lord. Have mercy on me, Lord. You know I love you. Two keys. Y'all ready? Okay, let's go to Deuteronomy. We're going to get these two and we're done. Deuteronomy chapter number 10. Okay? Now, I want y'all to follow me, but I'm going to read it. But follow me. Verse number 12. This is the first key to us walking before the Lord. How? Wholeheartedly. Deuteronomy 10 and 12. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. See, when it comes to walking before our God wholeheartedly, we got to remember that this is what God requires. This is what our God requires. He Lord. This is a mandate. We are not volunteers, young people. You have people say that, come to our church so you can volunteer. No, we ain't no volunteer. We're servants. And servants are required to give their God their best. God wants our best, young people. Whether it be on the instrument, in the classroom, in a relationship, God wants our best. It is a requirement. It's a mandate. And in life, young folk, understand there are going to be some things that are required that you don't like. That's just life. There are going to be some things that are mandatory that you do not like, but you're going to have to do them. I do not like paying car insurance every month. I don't like doing it. I'm just going to be honest. It's too much money. And I wish the months that I had no accidents or citations, they would say, you know what? You've been a good driver. Here's that money back. But I'm required to pay car insurance every month, even though I don't get a citation or accident. Now, I can choose to say, man, forget that. I'm driving. Go on and drive without that insurance and get caught and see how it go down. Oh, it's going down around here. Government don't play about their money. Yeah, it's just certain things I just do not like that I have to do, but it's required. I'm just going to be honest. It's some Sundays. I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I'm human. It's some Sundays. I would rather be on vacation. I'd rather be on vacation. Can I get that Sunday and I'll see y'all, you know, the next one. No. But it's a requirement for me to be in God's house. I'm his servant. If I'm truly a pastor, I'm going to be with the sheep every Sunday. That's Shepherd's Day. Want to be on vacation, but I'm rushing to get down the road. Got to be with the sheep. How many understand what I'm talking about? So it's going to be things in life, young folk. It's going to be bills you have you do not like. You know, when you look on your pay stub, who is FICA? What? Who is that? And why they getting this money? every paycheck. They said I was supposed to get $1,000. Why my check $700? FICA done took all that money out. You got to pay it. You got to render unto Caesar. What is Caesar? And you ain't even met Caesar, have you? But they're getting that check. Same thing, young folk, when it comes to our God. There are going to be things that he requires. I used to have to tell my boys, look, I know you doing this. I know you playing sports. I know you doing this. But understand, I'm not going to be at every event. I'm going to strive to be there to support. But I may not be able to be there if I have to do what the Lord requires of me. There have been plenty of anniversaries and other things in me and my wife's relationship and our marriage. I said, look, we're going to have to do it another day. And thank God she wasn't stuck on, no, it's today. Our anniversary is today. But I would tell her, I was like, look, we're going to have to commemorate this day in 3 weeks. I'll take you out in 3 weeks because for these next 3 weeks, the Lord has required that I do this right here. How many understand by a show of hands? So if you're a servant, you just got to understand, it's just certain things he is going to require. It's just certain places I'd like to go to, just the experience. I ain't never been, but would like to go. I mean, I've never been to certain places and seen certain women do certain things. I just never been. I would just curious. But my God said, no, Baker, don't touch the unclean thing. Yes, sir. But my flesh be like, I wonder what it's like. Y'all read between the lines. Let's go to Colossians. Y'all hear First Lady? Gotcha. And it's going to be like that, young folk, in life. Y'all feel me on that? All right, last verse, Colossians 3. So the first key, this is what our God requires, okay? And always remember, if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to deny ourselves. Colossians 3:23. Again, follow me. And whatever, that's a powerful word. Let's try that again. And whatever you do, do it heartily. As to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. We got to remember who we serve. If we're going to walk before the Lord with all our heart, we got to remember, Lord, I serve you. I'm doing this as I'm doing it unto you, Lord. Can't stand my supervisor, but Lord, this is really your job. So I'm going to work on this job because the earth is the Lord's. And the fullness thereof. They try me, Lord, but I serve you. You got to remember that, young folk. I serve the Lord. So I'm going to give you my best. I used to work for the county. And I was the mail clerk. That's all I did. College degree. Moving mail. And folk, man, you got too much education to be no mail clerk. I say, look. This is where the Lord want me to be right now. And I worked that mail. And I worked it for a year. And then God blessed me with another job within the same county system. You got to understand how God operates. We need to do things as unto the Lord. I'm going to tell y'all something. Y'all listen real closely and look at me. I don't see my pastor every week. I don't see him. Sometimes I go months and I don't even see him. But he has to be able to trust that I'm going to feed y'all with knowledge and understanding. That I'm going to do what I need to do. And if I was selfish, I could be like, well, he'll never come up here and see me and check on me and so forth. I don't even know if he listens to the CDs or not. You know, I don't know. I could really just try to do or throw y'all anything. But I pastor as unto the Lord. I know God looking. I know God know if I pray or not, study his word and so forth. I fear God. So I do it as unto the Lord. Just like an ant, young folk. An ant don't have a master, but an ant works hard. That's how we have to be, young folk. We have to do everything, not just church stuff, but life. Do it as unto the Lord. When you clean that kitchen, you act like the Lord coming in there for dinner. You clean that kitchen as unto the Lord. You may have your own room, but act like Jesus is your roommate. And you keep that room clean like the Son of Man himself lives in that room. Do it as unto, help me, as unto the Lord. And if we do these two things, young folk, it's going to help us to walk before the Lord wholeheartedly. How many understand the teaching? I'm going to stop right there. Let's give God a hand clap for the lesson.